Chapter number 5, yes, Amos chapter 5, and we'll see where this will take us tonight. I probably have a whole lot more notes than I'm going to be preaching tonight, so I'm trying to wade through all that. Learning to seek the Lord. How many here honestly would say that you diligently seek the Lord? Amen, amen. I said diligently seek the Lord, amen. Amen. Anybody ever lost a set of keys? You did, and you had to go somewhere, like it was your car keys? I guarantee you, you diligently sought for those keys. Do we seek the Lord like that? That's what I'm talking about. Diligently seeking the Lord. Not just as I have a moment here and there, give him a little tip of my 5 minutes. I'm talking about diligently seeking Jesus. Yes, sir. Wow. A constant and earnest effort. Amen. Do we diligently seek the Lord? It's a good question. I would have to say I couldn't raise my hand with y'all when you said you diligently seek the Lord. I don't think I do. I'd like to think that I do. But when I really evaluate my life and my seeking of God, I just have to say I probably fall short. I know I do. Can we be honest tonight? Probably a few of us do. Amen. Well, we're going to look in the scriptures tonight and see what it refers to when God, and some things connected with it. Amen. So let's look at Amos chapter 5. Now, he was a prophet and a minor prophet around the 751 BC time frame. And if you know kind of the time frame there of the divided kingdoms, and we know the northern kingdom went into captivity, Levi, what year? That's right, 721 BC. And so this is 751, so 30 years prior to that. So both northern and southern kingdoms were still in place, and Amos is prophesying. And this is what he says in Amos 5:1. Hear ye this word, which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. Now, a lamentation is an expression of sorrow, cries of grief, an act of bewailing, right? And so, because we have a whole book called Lamentations, right? And who's the author of Lamentations? Jeremiah, right. The weeping prophet, amen? And that would be later. This is earlier. Remember, Jeremiah would have been there when the southern kingdom was taken into captivity. So he's later. This is earlier than that. And we find Amos saying that he has a lamentation against them. So he is sorrowing. He's grieving. He act of bewailing concerning some things in reference to Israel in that time frame. And so Israel, actually, after they had gotten into the land, I mean, they went through some good times with, they chose an earthly king over God being their king. We know that transition from Samuel there. He hated that transition when they wanted a king, and they chose Saul. And then after Saul came David, and after David came Solomon. Each reigned for 40 years, totaling 120 years. And so after Solomon's son came, and he's the one that the kingdoms were divided under. His name was Rehoboam, right? And Jeroboam was the one that went north with 10 tribes. He stayed south with 2. And we find that from that point really on, that there was a degradation that continually happened in Israel, Judah, Israel. And they were up and down in the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom never had a good king. It was a constant downward slide. But nonetheless, we find here at this particular point, this is to both. And we find that Israel had waxed worse and worse, and they kept choosing idolatry over God. And they were warned, though. They were warned way earlier on by a guy named Joshua, and even before that from a guy named Moses. But in Joshua 24, keep your place there in Amos 5. We're going to keep coming back there for a few minutes. But in Joshua 24, this would be at the end of Joshua's time on earth, and it was towards the latter end of the conquest there as he would lead. And after Joshua comes the book of Judges, and we know after Joshua, who was the guy that took over after Joshua? There wasn't anyone. No one. God did, right? Well, yes and no. The patriarchs, the patriarchal system, no man really rose up to lead, if you will. And we find that it was in that time frame of Judges that they really, the epithet over Judges is not that every man followed God. It is every man did that which was right in their own eyes, right? So what happened was they began to really follow themselves. They began to follow their own way. They became diligent about seeking what they wanted. They became diligent about following what their heart desired, right? And that's why I have, in my own mind, I've tagged the day that we live Judges 2.0. Because really, that's exactly what people do today, even Christians, right? They do what they want to do, and they try to get God on their side. They try to get God to say, oh, yeah, I'm okay with that. When in reality, that's backwards, right? And so we're talking about seeking the Lord. We're not talking about seeking self. We're not talking about seeking our own selfish desires. We're talking about seeking the Lord tonight. And there is a distinct difference between seeking the Lord and seeking ourselves, our own desires, and asking God to put his stamp of approval on it. Do we see that? All right. Well, in Joshua chapter 24, verse number 19, this is the exchange that Joshua had with Israel before his passing. And it says, and Joshua said unto the people, this is amazing. Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt. Oh, that we would strike that message up today and not beg people to get saved, but say, you know what, you really can't serve God. And that's the true message, amen? In and of ourselves, we can't serve him. And if we act like we're going to, and we're going to name the name of Christ, the Bible says we are then to depart from iniquity. And honestly, many don't, and it becomes a snare to them. It becomes a problem to them. And he says, you can't do it. And it says that if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. Verse 21, and the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. Can I say, as Christians, we are witnesses against ourselves because we have chosen the Lord to serve him. We have said at some point in our lives that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he died for us, came to this earth, died for us, shed his blood for us, went in the grave, rose again, and we have chose him over all other gods. That's what salvation is, amen? We chose him over everyone, to include ourselves. And so there's a lot of similarities here in reference to what they said here and what we said as well. And it says, and they said, we are witnesses. Verse 23, now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. All right, go back to Amos 5. Amos 5, and again, verse number 1, it says, hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100, and that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. The condition of Israel was dire. The reference there to the virgin is talking about the purity of Israel. Israel had lost its purity, and no doubt, even in a real tangible sense there, no doubt the number of virgins had diminished greatly, but the nation themselves had also been defiled. They were no longer in that innocent sense. And unfortunately, most young people today raising up have lost their innocency way too early in their lives. And we no longer live in an innocent nation anymore. We no longer live in a shamefaced nation. We don't have much that shames many people today. Right? We go out and about and we see some pretty crazy things out there, and it doesn't even make anybody blush anymore. It's like, oh, there's that again. Whatever. We've kind of, as a nation, we've lost our innocency. You see, and that's what happened here in Israel as well, nationally. Verse number four. And by the way, the reason it happened was because they went against that covenant back with Joshua, and they really went a whoring after false gods. And anytime you go after a false god, know this: all false gods are after your purity, to defile your purity. It's just the way it is. It's really a sham. False religion is a sham. But its true religion is undefiled before God and the Father. And we find in verse number four, it says, "For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel." Watch this, verse number four. So the answer, Amos is taking up a lamentation against them. They've lost their innocency. They've turned from God in a sense. And this is what he says in verse number four: "For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor seek Gilgal." These are holy places that were set up. "And pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught." In other words, all these religious things that have been set up in your land, God said to them, because of the course of action that you've chosen, they're all going to go down. They're all going to be destroyed. He says, but even though this is going to happen to the land, in the northern kingdom, in the southern kingdom, completely, even though that's the case, you individually and nationally, you seek the Lord. And can I say, no matter what happens in our country nationally, no matter what happens to the many churches around and all that, to religion, even the Baptist, it doesn't matter. You seek the Lord. You individually take it upon yourself and seek the Lord. You say, well, my spouse doesn't. I don't care what your spouse does. You seek the Lord. Say, well, my mom and dad, whatever. I don't care what your mom and dad do. Well, I do, but in reference to you in this, you seek the Lord. You can't blame anybody else for you not seeking God. It is on you. God is holding you to the fire here. You personally accountable. Don't be pointing to somebody else and blaming them because of something. Don't point to President Biden and blame him. Amen. You seek the Lord. Don't point to some other thing out there and say, well, that's the reason I don't seek the Lord. No, you seek the Lord. Seeking the Lord is the answer for all of us. Amen. And that's what we see here. Amos is preaching unto the people, and he says, yeah, the conditions are dire. Things are rough out there. The innocency is gone. In total, it is as if everybody has gone after idols and have gone the wrong way, but not everyone. You individually seek the Lord, and it says, and you will live. You shall live. Now, it says in that sixth verse, it says, seek the Lord and ye shall live. It's repeated. It stated it in verse 4, says it again in verse 6. Lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Verse 7. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth. It says in verse number 8, seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. He says, those that have just basically turned judgment upside down and made it bitter and all that, and act like, God is the problem, like it's God's opinion and God's judgments and God's commandments, that these are the problem. They're not the problem. You've left off righteousness in the earth. You're turning from the one that made the stars. Think about that. The one that made the stars. Who has power to do that? Amen. Who has power to make stars? If you figure out who has power to make stars, that's the one you need to serve. Oh, yeah, we did figure out who it is. It's God. He's the one that's made the stars. Amen. So let's serve him. It says, the Lord is his name. That strengtheneth the spoiled against the strong, so that the spoiled shall come against the fortress. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. So it's saying, this is the condition that you're dealing with. The strong of your day, whether because of money, family name, possessions, they basically pit themselves against the weak. And God is saying here, the spoiled, they rob and pillage. He's saying here, you seek the Lord and I'll take care of you. You seek the Lord, and I'll be your strength against these. In verse 10, it talks about how they, referring to those that have turned from God, those that have gone astray there in Israel, that they hate him that rebuketh in the gate. That's the actual man that would stand up in the gate and say, thus saith the Lord, and say, we can't go this wrong way. It says they hate them, and we understand that. It says that they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. We understand what that's like in our day. For as much, therefore, as your treading is upon the poor, and ye take from him burdens of wheat, ye have built houses of hewn stone, but ye shall not dwell in them. Ye have planted pleasant vineyards, but ye shall not drink wine of them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just. They take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. Therefore, the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. You listen to what Amos is calling them out on. I'm telling you, it could be a script written about our day today. I mean, all of these things are happening today. But we can't use these as excuses and reasons ourselves to stop being diligent ourselves about seeking God. As a matter of fact, as things get like this, we should seek God all the more. And as a matter of fact, as far as coming to church and being faithful to the assembly, it says, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. We need each other. We need preaching of righteousness. We need the word of God and the encouragement of the saints. And the saints being found faithful and not being unfaithful to follow the ways of the land, but being faithful and kind of bucking the way of the land. Amen. Look at verse number 14, Amos says here. He says in chapter 5, verse 14, seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. He said, I know this is going against the grain, but do it anyway. And he says, just stay faithful. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. He says, if you'll just stand up and do right as the remnant, it may be that it might turn the whole nation. And it might be that God will see just what the few are doing and have mercy and grace upon the nation as a whole. Verse 16, therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord saith thus, wailing shall be in all streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas, and they shall call the husbandmen to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing, and in all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. I was just reading through there, just thinking about how even in Israel now they have a wailing wall. Isn't that interesting? There's a reason why they're mourning still in Israel, and it's because they have not embraced the Messiah. But one day they surely will. Now, in the Bible, 27 times the phrase, seek the Lord, is used. We're going to look at a few of those. We see here that Amos said to them that the answer to the issue in your nation, it's really not a national collective thing to do. It's individual. He says, you take it upon yourself. You that hear the message and are willing, you seek the Lord. You seek the Lord and you will live. And that's really the whole focal point of the message today. 27 times, seek the Lord is used. 2 Chronicles, turn over there, please. 2 Chronicles, verse number 12. 2 Chronicles, verse number 12. Now, this phrase is used majority of the time Old Testament, some in the New. And we're going to find a number of times. We're not going to be able to look at all these, but we'll look at a few here to kind of get an idea of really what happens when somebody seeks the Lord, and what does it mean to seek the Lord? In 2 Chronicles 12 and verse number 13, so King Rehoboam strengthened himself. He'll be the first king of the southern kingdom in the split kingdom. Strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned, for Rehoboam was 1 and 40 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem. the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah and Ammonitess. And he did evil. Watch this. And he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. If you're not seeking the Lord today as God would define that, then we are setting ourselves up to do evil and not good. And that's what happened with Rehoboam. Rehoboam was given a tremendous opportunity as he led that nation. And instead of seeking God, he sought the young counselors. He sought his own heart, his own will. He sought false gods. And because of that, he did evil and not good. In Deuteronomy 4, I'm not going to read this whole text, but in verses 23 through 31, we find Deuteronomy, of course, from Moses. He kind of gave this warning earlier, and repeatedly he told them. In verse number 29, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thine heart. And he basically before that said, if you find yourself in such a case that you've left off from serving the Lord and you're not doing right, and then you're brought back to that reality, he says basically turn, stop right then and start seeking the Lord. It doesn't really matter what you've done today, yesterday, day before, week before, years before. What matters is today. Where are you at today? And are you willing to seek the Lord today? That's what God is saying. Don't look at your past and say, I can't. No, today, yes, you can. You can start seeking God afresh today. And later on in that text, it actually repeat that phrase as well. In 1 Chronicles chapter number 16, in 1 Chronicles 16 and in verse number 8, again, we find a passage that calls Israel to seek the Lord. It says, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wonderful works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them that rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. That's what it means to diligently seek the Lord, is to seek his face continually in every aspect of that thought. In Proverbs 28:5, it says, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. You want to understand why things are like they are? Seek the Lord. You want to understand why you're going through what you're going through? You seek the Lord. You want to understand something? Seek the Lord. And if you'll seek the Lord, you will gain the understanding of the Lord. That's what God says. Amen. I look over to Isaiah 31. Isaiah 31 and in verse number 1, Isaiah 31, verse number 1, we're prepping the young people for the sword drills on Friday night. Amen. Isaiah 31, verse number 1 says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. They run off to the world for help. They run off to what the world can do to help them. And they never seek the Lord. I wonder if that describes us. Does that describe you? If it does, you're not seeking the Lord. We should seek the Lord first. Seeking him first. We seek the kingdom of God first. It is Christ that must have the preeminence in our lives. We seek the Lord. I know it's commonplace and the whole world does it. Everybody has this issue or that issue and run right off and seek whatever help the world can offer. But God wants his people to live differently. God wants his people to seek him first. Every issue we have, I don't care what the issue is, every issue we have has a spiritual component to it. And the world isn't going to help you with that spiritual component. God will help you with that spiritual component. There's no reason to seek a physical answer before we first get the spiritual answer. We get the spiritual answer first. And after that's done, there may be a remnant of some physical that needs to be dealt with. But typically our problems will be handled if we'll just seek God first and early, as his word says. And Hosea, look at Hosea chapter number 10. Seeking the Lord is a change of life for all of us, especially for Christians. We should have this revolutionary change in our lives to find it a habit that we seek God first before anyone or anything else. And if we'll do that diligently, then we can say, yeah, we're seeking the Lord. We're seeking the Lord. This is not a conceptual thing. This is a practical thing. This is not just this pipe dream of how, oh, yeah, I kind of nebulously seek. No, this is practically. Do we practically seek the Lord over everything first? That's what it means, to diligently seek him. Hosea chapter 10. Now, I'm going to read verse 13 and then read verse 12 because 12 kind of answers 13. It says, you have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. So he says you have an issue here. You've ended up doing evil because you've trusted in your own way. And you've looked to the might of the world around you, the mighty men. Look at verse 12 now, back up a verse. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. What's it say? Reap in mercy. We sow righteousness. How do we reap what we sow, right? So how do we sow in righteousness? We seek the Lord because he's righteous. Amen? Then it says, break up your fallow ground where we've become hard. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. How long do we seek the Lord until he rain righteousness upon you? We seek him and we seek him and we let him have his righteous way in our lives. In Acts 17, Paul was preaching there to those in Mars Hill. And in verse number 17 or 27, he actually says, chapter 17, verse 27 of Acts, he says that they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. God is not far from us, but he's far enough from us that if you don't seek him, he's not there. He's not far, but he's far enough. Listen. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you and I can get away from not seeking the Lord. Practically over everything. You say, but I'm a Christian, of course God's just going to step in. Yes, he can. But usually he doesn't. Because he wants us to seek him. It sets the relationship right when we seek him. Now, what does it mean to seek the Lord? Well, I mentioned in Colossians, it talks about that he is to have the preeminence. And that's in Colossians 1, verses 15 through 18. He's the one that created everything. He's the one by whom all things consist. He is first in everything. And so we should seek him first. Or else we get it out of order. And we get things out of order. Things that are out of order don't work. Now, seeking the Lord. The word seeking means to look for, to find, to fix our eyes upon, to pay attention to diligently look for him in everything. That's what this thought of seeking actually means. Like if we're looking for a set of keys, or maybe you're in a grocery store. I've been in, like, I get used to like our Kroger over here, but I go to a different Kroger, and lo and behold, they just thought it was funny just to go ahead and switch everything around. And so here I am trying to find this one item for some amazing recipe I'm trying to make that I don't do very often. And I'm like, now where in the world? So I'll call Dana and say, where is this? You know, you're seeking for it. You're looking up this aisle, looking down aisle. You're just everywhere looking. And I'm focused on where is this thing? My eyes are looking for it. Amen. I'm running around. I might even ask somebody, which is rare. But I might even ask somebody and say, hey, where's this at? I'm seeking it. Is that how we seek God when we have an issue? We diligently look for the answer. Most people don't know how to study their Bible very well, and they don't know how to look. Shame on you. There's no reason. You can't rely on somebody else to do the seeking for you. God didn't say, just get beside so-and-so while they seek the Lord, and that'll suffice. He never says that. He says, you seek the Lord. You learn. You learn how to diligently seek the Lord. Doesn't matter your age. God knows how old you are. He knows what your issues are. He knows what your mental capacities are. He knows what your abilities are. In those capacities and in those abilities, you seek the Lord. So he says. He says this repeatedly over and over. Seeking it like we really want to find it. Not one of those, yeah, I looked and I didn't find it, so I'm off to here. No, not like that. No, no. Diligently seeking for an answer. Seeking the Lord, by the way, is a command. Every time it's given, it's a command. God, this isn't a suggestion. This isn't, well, you know, this is one other thing you can try if you want. No, he didn't say that. He said, seek me with all your heart. Look at 1 Kings 19. Sometimes when we're seeking for something, we're seeking for the Lord, what we'll find is he's not there. We're seeking for the Lord in this and we can't find him in it. What do? Well, we look somewhere else and we look somewhere else and we look somewhere else until we find him. We can't force God into our box. We can't force him to be okay with what we want him to be okay with. That's not what it means to seek the Lord. We're looking for his mind on it. We're looking for his opinion. In 1 Kings 19, you might recall when I start to read this, the situation. It says, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. This is Elijah. He just came out of a tremendous victory, by the way. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? Did you ever have God say it to you? What are you doing? What are you doing here? It's a real good question right now, God. It's a really good question. I'm wondering the same thing, right? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. You could pretty much categorize this, he's complaining to God. And it's fine. If there's one person you can complain to, it's the Lord. Now, God's not going to jump into your complaint and kind of, you know, wallow there with you. He's going to give you some help, but you can complain to the Lord. We have this example with Elijah and in Psalms, and we see it throughout the Word of God. But anyway, verse 11, he said, this was what God said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. Hallelujah. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and it brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. Can you imagine the sight? Here's Elijah complaining, crying, belly aching. I'm the only one left, God. All this is happening there in Israel. It's just horrible. Elijah, go outside a minute. Go outside there. Look at the mountains. Just stand there. God just sweeps by his amazing wind and breaks the rocks in pieces. That's pretty powerful, I think, right? But it says, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? So what was God doing? God was getting his attention. God was getting Elijah's attention. And we seek the Lord, that's what God does. He gets our attention. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. He had that down, didn't he? He'd probably rehearsed that a few times as he made his way up to the mountain. Verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat, the Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that he that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. What's interesting about this is God did speak to him. And throughout this whole thing, basically what God says is, you know what, Elijah, it's time for you. You're done. You're done. I'm going to replace you now. And before you go, I have a little bit of an assignment here you're going to take care of. And this is how God works with us. God is not, aren't you glad God doesn't get all emotional like we get emotional? Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that God doesn't have a nervous breakdown? Amen. Aren't you glad that God doesn't find himself in a corner crying, bawling his eyes out, sucking his thumb, thinking, man, what in the world am I going to do? Aren't you glad you'll never find God in that posture? And can I say, when God does find you in that posture, as you seek him, he will not leave you in that posture. He'll get you up and give you an assignment. And when it's your time to go, he'll take you. And until then, we need to be listening for that still small voice that he'll direct us in. In Hebrews chapter 1, it tells us how God directs us today. It's not this way, but it's by the word of God. Hath in these last times spoken unto us by his Son. And we find in John 16 that the Holy Spirit of God is involved in our lives to lead us and guide us in the word of Jesus Christ, the Bible. And so now today, how do we seek God? We seek Christ, his word, through the Bible as the Holy Spirit leads us. That's how we seek him. In Psalm 10 and verse number 4, Psalm 10 and verse number 4 says, the wicked through his pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts, which means if we're going to seek after God, it means that God is in all of our thoughts. We're also supposed to cast out every imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into the captivity of Jesus Christ. This is how we seek after God. Every thought that goes through our mind is filtered through the very words of Jesus Christ, because we're concerned about what he thinks about everything. And he sets us straight and sets us in order so that we can deal what is coming at us day in and day out. Look over at 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. While you're turning there, Psalm 14 verse 2 says, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. God, the psalmist here says, God is looking for some people that'll just seek him. That's it. Doesn't seem all that hard. Doesn't seem all that magnanimous. But it is, because very few do it. But we need to be that people. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 20 says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Say, why are you reading this passage? Well, because this passage is going to reveal to us that Greeks, you and I, Gentiles, are prone to seek wisdom, but not after God. We are prone to seek the wisdom of this world. Can I say, before we seek the wisdom of this world, let us seek the wisdom of God. Let us, as his people, give him first place. What does it say to God if I mean, we claim that he's God. We claim that he has made everything and like he's the smartest guy in the whole universe. We claim that he knows how everything works and that he holds everything together. We make all these claims. And yet when it comes time to us having an issue, we don't seek him. Something's wrong with that picture, isn't it? I believe God can do anything. Do we believe that? I believe God can do everything, anything. Absolutely. I believe God loves us. Oh, absolutely. I believe God can just speak the word and bang, it's done. Then why don't we seek him? First, it's an indictment, really, against what we say about him. You see, we find that Greeks seek wisdom. It says in verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block, unto the Greeks, foolishness, but unto them that are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. What we need primarily in our lives is just God. We just need God. If God be for us, who could be against us? If you're looking at this big, huge problem in your life, and you get God's mind on it, how big's that problem now? It ain't a problem anymore. It might be to everybody else involved, but it's not to you, because now you know how to navigate that thing, because God spoke to you, you see. Benefits of seeking God. I'm just going to rattle these off. You can write them down. I'm not going to wait till you turn there. Psalm 22:26. Benefits of seeking God. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Well, sounds like there's some times of praise coming and some supply coming if you'll just seek the Lord. Psalm 34:10. It says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. That word want there is lack. Bible says if you'll just seek the Lord diligently with all your heart, you will not lack any good thing. It's almost like you, just by seeking the Lord like this, you kind of get on God's good side, right? God just takes care of you. Amen. Psalm 105 verse 3, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Are you looking for God? Are you looking for God? You say, I need to find God. What's this passage say to do? Oh, I can't. I got to be at work early. But I guess you're not seeking. Do you see how this works? Because if you're really seeking, would that matter? No. Because if you're really seeking, you'd be like, oh man, I need an extra half hour then in the morning, don't I? If you're really seeking. I mean, if you're not seeking, it's just a casual thing. Whenever I get it, then you're not seeking him early, but you also don't get the promise. The Bible says, if you'll seek him when? Early. By the way, that means maybe early in the day, but it also might mean early when? In the problem. When do we normally seek him in that problem? Way down the road when it's really getting bad. God, I've tried every way of the world. I've tried them all. I've looked on Facebook. I've Googled it. I mean, I've paid for experts. I've done all of this. I've been to the doctor 45 times. I spent all my living like that lady did in the Bible. I've done all these things. God, at the last, can you help me? Are you going to find him? Honestly, probably not. Because your heart's not right. Your heart's not in it. When's the Bible say to seek him? Early. He must have the preeminence. He must be first. Because it sets the relationship right. Does that make sense? That's what seeking the Lord means. In Proverbs 28:5, it says, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. I read that earlier. You want biblical understanding about your kids, which are really hard to understand? What's it say to do? Seek the Lord. You want to understand your spouse, which is just next to impossible? What's it say to do? It says all things. So understand all things. So what do? Seek the Lord. You want to understand the economic conditions of our country? What do you got to do? It says all things. We seek the Lord. Do you want to understand English? A lot of you are in school, and I mean, I deal with English and all that all the time. If you want to understand English and all that, what's the Bible say to do? Seek the Lord. Do you want to understand mathematics? What do we do? By the way, God is a mathematical God. Extremely mathematical. We want to understand mathematics? Seek the Lord. You want to understand mechanics? What's it say to do? That's crazy. If I want to understand mechanics, I'm going to go take a class with some real good mechanic. Not first. God is the best mechanic I've ever met. I'm not kidding. I can't tell you how many times I came up on problems that I could not fix, and I prayed and asked God to give me wisdom on aircraft, and He did. So I don't believe that. That's fine. You can be an unbeliever. I'm a believer. Amen? Seek the Lord. You want to be a better seamstress? What should you do first? Seek the Lord. Want to be a better culinary arts person? Be better at cooking? What should you do first? Say, oh, come on. I'm just trying to give you Bible. Everything. In everything, we seek God when? First and early. That's what seeking, that's what it means to seek the Lord. So how are we doing? Are we doing good up to this point? Up to this point coming in tonight, have we been seeking the Lord in like this? Probably not. But we can start. And that's what God was saying to Israel. And that's what God was saying. That's what God through Paul was saying there as well in the book of Acts to those in Athens. It says in Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. But you got to seek. How? All your heart. And first. In John 5:30, I quote this often in my own life and while I preach. Jesus is speaking. He says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And so we need to stop seeking for things to be like we want them. Right? We need to seek God's will and how things should be. Do you really want your will if your will is not God's will? No. But if we seek our will first and then try to get God to bless it, we've kind of put the cart before the horse, didn't we? We kind of got that thing turned around wrong, right? We seek Him first. We seek Him early. We include Him in everything, you see. We find in Colossians 3, it says in verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall appear with Him in glory. If you've been risen with Christ, if you're born again, seek those things which are above first. Are the things in life important? Yes, but not as important as things that are above. The things that are above sets everything in order so I don't get messed up with the things on earth, as we're all prone to do. Lastly, Psalm 24:6 says, This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face. Might we be that generation? The generation young, middle-aged and old that said, you know what, we've had enough. We've had enough of our own ways. We've had enough of what life is like when I seek my way first and ask God to bless it. From now on, in everything, I'm seeking him first. Not just through prayer. Yes, with prayer, but not just in prayer. Remember, seeking the Lord means we seek his word over these things. We look for the mind of God, the word of God as the Holy Spirit leads us. We seek God's mind. I'm not that good at it. Now's the time to just commit to getting good at it. Seeking God. God wants you to, God will help you. But we got to start seeking God first in everything. And if we will do that, he'll give us understanding. He'll give us things to praise him over. Amen. And enjoy. He'll give us, substance. If we seek the kingdom of God first, all these things shall be added unto us. It says in Matthew 6:33, meaning our provision. We'll not lack of any good thing if we'll just seek the Lord early and first. Amen. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this time together. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. And God, I thank you, God, for helping me first with this thought today. God, it's been just continual, Lord, just thinking through this and trying to see in my own life, is that what I do? And I know in a number of ways, yes, I would say yes, but in all things, I can't say that. But God, I want to be that one that seeks you first in everything. And I'm sorry for where I've failed and haven't. And God, you've shown me, Lord, that truly is the way that, God, you've made us as Christians to operate, is that we seek you early. We include you in everything. We're interested in your will for all things. And we know that you're such a wonderful God that we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. And you're ever present with us. But God, you hold back that hand until we seek you for that help. God, help us with this thought today. It might be that there's some here tonight that are really struggling with some things. And maybe they even were rebuked by you because they hadn't even sought you except a little bit of prayer here and there. They really didn't seek your word over anything. And they haven't diligently sought after you. They haven't diligently looked into the word of God and asked your opinion on nothing. Maybe today you've rebuked on that. I pray that that's the case. And God, that we'll commit, Lord, from this moment on, that we're going to seek you. We're going to seek you like we're looking for hid treasure. Like we're actually looking to find. Not that we're just trying to check a box, but that we're really looking for what you can give and you can give. God, give us wisdom. Give us understanding. Help us, dear God. And God, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you. We thank you. We need you, dear God. Help us with this, I pray in Jesus' name.